You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
Konnichiwa, Patrick.
You know what? I was going to respond, but I think, we're on the phone, so I think I can say Moshi Moshi. I think. Sure. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Listen, everybody.
We all need to get on our
Duolingo?
Duolingo. Yes.
I'll Google Translate.
Listen, everybody, I'm recording this from a hotel room in Tokyo. I was waylaid in Saigon for 2 days, which was a nice experience, but unexpected. And Tokyo's been a nice experience.
Pat, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What's the hotel like? A man of larger carriage. Am I having trouble in the hotel?
You're not having trouble, but it's not your favorite.
They're very small.
I mean, yeah, this is like when I was paying $300 to live in Brooklyn. You know what I mean? this is subdivided several more times than a large guy might want. But you're making do. It's just not your favorite hotel room.
Do you get your own room since they're small?
Yes. Yes, in fact. And that's an upgrade. I'm not sorry to ruin the mystique both to our or add the mystique to our listeners and to you guys, but I am Daffy Duck right now, or Donald Duck rather.
Winnie the Pooh. Bear.
Yeah, I'm Pooh Bear. I'm wearing my Peace Through Superior Firepower shirt I bought at a flea market in Saigon and no pants at all.
You're going raw butt on a chair?
I have a towel down, which is actually not preferred because I might forget and use this towel on my face shortly.
You're going to get a big guy. You're totally give yourself a big guy on the tour. Yes. Is this your first Japanese tour?
It is, yeah.
For either band, right?
Yeah, I think we were supposed to get out. I might be misremembering this. I think we were supposed to get out before COVID, and then COVID put a stop to a lot of things. You remember that? Tom, by the way, the other day, I thought you were going to miss the podcast for the first time, and I thought it was going to be Bob and I. And I was going to use it as an opportunity to just get it all off. I was going to say things I don't even mean.
That's why I will never. I'll be on my fucking deathbed. And you'll hear like the machine behind me, like in the fucking. I will never do that. Just so someone's
gonna Darth Vader on you. Yeah, he's gonna. Yeah, get you.
Like, I'm gonna like take my breathing machine off and be like, "Here's why you're wrong. It's not
save it for worst possible timeline."
yeah, get a joke, Tom Lemon.
So anyway, hold on. Let's do I want to talk about the videos of Drain in Japan and how I hope to compete with how they're killing audiences. But before we do all that, let's do some sponsors.
Thank you to Closed Casket Activities.
Hey everybody, I would love to say Japanese words, but I don't know. No longer have any idea what is fun and what is acceptable. Yeah. we're just going to go.
All right, here's what we're going to do. You're going to go through your top four favorite languages you'd like to say words in, but you're not sure if it's okay for you to say words in.
Okay.
Okay. So thank you to Closed Casket Activities.
Romanian.
Thank you to Run for Cover Records.
The one that they speak in the Philippines that I'll mispronounce even saying it.
Thank you to Convulse Records.
I would like to have communicated with the people in Vietnam.
And thank you to Live a Lie.
Russian.
Let's go to our buddies. You know what? It's a twofer. We're tight. Just so everybody pull the curtains back. It is currently 10:19 p.m. in Tokyo. It is 9:19 a.m. here on Eastern time. Eastern, are we in Eastern Standard right now? Whatever. In the New York City time zone. And I got youth basketball to leave for in an hour, so we got to be tight. Run for Cover Records, runforcoverrecords.com. Closed Casket Activities, closedcasketactivities.com. Two different flavors. But these are pillars of the game, giants, titans in their own right, who release iconic, if not classic, records on what seems a semi-annual basis. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
Big facts.
That is wild. And it's one of those things I want people to take a minute, think about it, appreciate it, because as time goes by, you start to realize weird things. Do we need labels? I don't know. Yeah, by the way, yes, kind of we do. Do we need things like that? If it wasn't for Discord Records putting out Minor Threat, you don't hear The Faith, you don't hear Void, you don't hear Embrace, you don't hear
Q and Not You.
Right, all these different things. If it's not for Bridge Nine Records, American Nightmare is there. You get the Striking Distance. You get the Carry On. You get all the Terrors for Striker. You just get these things that you get exposed to because of label associations. And sometimes in the moment, it gets easy to overlook some of it. So take a second. Look at what Run for Cover Records has done recently. Look at what Closed Casket Activities has done recently. And order some goddamn music. Right now, I'm going to tell you, Incendiary changed the way you think about pain. You know that brand new Incendiary record that they pressed like 10,000 copies of? Don't worry, they had to go to second pressing. So there's some more of that up right now. There's some other new releases right up there that I'm curious about this one. There's a couple different things. So go check it out. He's got some exclusives there. Run for Cover. You all know we're excited for this new Fiddlehead. The Temple of Angels record, I actually think rocks. I'm really, really psyched on that. And then there's the new Citizen. And by the way, one of those, what I consider a classic record, Pity Sex, Feast of Love. I think that's a fantastic record. The 10-year anniversary edition is still up there. So everybody, don't take great things for granted in the moment. You will rue it later on.
True.
Guys, how you doing? How you feeling?
I am suffering. Sorry, everybody. This is some real old man shit. My feet are poorly designed, and walking around.
And I don't have like my supports in my shoes.
Listen, it's worse than all that. I got I got flat feet for sure because I experienced those.
You wore Vans your whole life?
I wore Converse until I was in high school. And then, thankfully, hardcore entered my life, and I
probably you got into Airwalks. Yeah, Airwalks and Skechers, the Rollies.
I never wore skate shoes. Really, I wore one pair of Vans because they gave them to us for free. And I'm sorry, Vans, not for free. I need some type of support, but that's not it. Yeah, there goes that sponsorship. Listen, the rest of my bandmates enjoyed them.
But yeah, we're waiting for the Nike Presents Axe to Grind or I don't know. What's the one maybe we're a Hoka?
Like people like that want to make believe they run.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Or people in the medical who work in hospitals. They love Hokas.
People that are actually on their feet the whole time and other people that go, "No, I'm athletic."
So
that's why I wear these purple and yellow sneakers.
Right. Yeah. It's not just that I'm dripped out. It's not the flat feet. It's sorry, everybody. This is a lot of information.
Are you glad you're
It's the hammer toes, and the hammer toes that are causing severe toe to toe friction and blistering. I walked every inch of Saigon the other day. I'm paying for it, which by the way, I don't know how much our listenership travels. That's not something we've ever polled them on. Saigon, known as Ho Chi Minh City, but apparently not by the people that live there. You know, like right, everybody, right. Whatever. But really, really nice place. I, having been to Phnom Penh in Cambodia, I thought that that was really fun for me, but probably would be rough for a lot of people. Saigon was just a, like, you got all this sort of Southeast Asia stuff that you would find fascinating, but you could bring your family. It was nice. That's my little review of Saigon, everybody. Although, you want me to tell my not family story?
Let's go quick though.
And this is why Kat had to walk so far.
I mean, listen, so last time I traveled, I went to Phnom Penh. I got there a day before my girlfriend, and I went out at night. I was like, I'm going to go get some street food. I found some vegan street food after some strained discourse, and sat with the dogs, and it was just so nice. It was a pleasant, whatever. I wanted that experience again. So I go out, nothing near the hotel. I'm walking in the direction I think I saw that there's something. It turns out, no. The guy rides up on a motorbike. And people are stopping all the time asking me if I need a ride. No, thank you, sir. Everybody's on a moped. Guy comes up on the sidewalk on a moped, but he's a younger guy. And he doesn't have one of the little vests indicating that he works for one of these companies.
Right. You think you could take him if things got rough?
It's right on the line. He's a bigger guy than me.
You're out.
So he says, excuse me. And I say, yes, sir. And he says, you go out? And everybody, I'm, this is verbatim. I'm not doing an Asian voice here. It's just verbatim. And he goes, you go out? And I go, yeah, I'm just out for a walk, man. And I can say, I don't need a ride. Thank you though. And he goes, want to come with me? And I said, no, I don't need a ride. I'm out, you know, just soaking in the city. And he starts, I do not understand.
You don't understand.
But that's what he's conveying to me. But he goes, and he keeps using these words I don't understand, like cyberbin or biba. And I was like, brother, I'm really sorry. I'm an ignorant American. I don't speak your language. But I really don't need anything. I hope you have a good evening. And he goes, banana. And I go, I'm starting to pick it up. And I go,
you know, my potassium does feel a little bit low. Let me take it up.
And I go, I don't know. I don't know what you tell me, sir, but I don't need a banana, certainly. And then he just, you know, like the way you might, like with an upstroke, I guess none of us would do this to anybody, but certainly we've seen it in our life with an up gesture. He like flips my dick. Like, you know what I mean? Like comes from underneath and like, boom, like one of these.
Gives
and
you a little boop on the dick. All right.
A little boop on the dick. And obviously I step back
to everyone for hearing this story.
if you're with your kids, trust me, it doesn't go.
You don't want to hear about someone giving Pat's penis a boop. Like yeah, so, dog knows.
Boop.
So here's the thing. This is when I realize I'm there's something wrong with me, because Tom, you and I both listen to the Joe Budden podcast, where gentlemen who are true homophobes pretend not to be for sponsored dollars, right? Because every time
Joe would come out as bi.
Yeah, sort of. He did that as a click thing. But the thing is, every time something gay comes up, those fellas all performatively act like it's cool. Okay. It's okay. Right. But then they also betray this really couldn't be me though. You know,
but don't even look at me. Well, yeah.
Right.
So I'm, this dude just booped me, and all I do is put my hands up in a no, thank you, brother. Instead of
the Neil deGrasse Tyson meme.
Yeah. Instead of
hands up and I don't know.
Instead of the response that a lot of people would have. Right. Sure. And he says, and I say, yo, okay. I pick up on what you're putting down, brother. I'm not interested. I like women. I never say girlfriend when I'm traveling, because I just want to keep it concise. I say, I have a wife at home. I like women. And he goes, no. And I wanted to get into the conversation of why.
Indignation of like, no, you come on. You yeah, like, let's be real.
That's what it was like. He goes, no. And I go, yeah, I like women. And I start gesturing titties, right? Like I have my hands boobs, in front
of me. Honk, honk. Yeah.
And I'm like,
what it's like hanging out with Patrick Hoffman. It's boobs on the dick and honk, honk, boobs.
And I go, no, listen, I like women. I got a wife at home. I'm good. Thank you, though. I'm flattered. Have a good evening. And I start walking and he's like, oh, and he rides away. Then I'm walking towards a park and he cuts me off. This is a few hundred yards ahead of me, cuts me off and he's lurking in the shadows. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And I walk up and I'm like, hey, my man, I assure you, I don't need any banana. Thank you though. You know what I mean? And now I'm keeping my distance because he's off his bike and he is technically bigger than me. I wasn't necessarily intimidated, but
prime boop position.
It could have gone.
He wanted to honk you. He could honk you.
Yeah.
So he goes, you try. I suck you. And I say, I understood. It wasn't a communication problem. I got what you were putting down. The answer is no, sir.
And so goes, this is the basis for the fifth Drug Church LP.
Yes. So he says, I suck you. I say, no. He says, you try. And I say, I do. And this I thought was funny. I thought this is me verbatim. I said, sir, my first homosexual experience is not going to be in a park where a guy's telling me I suck you. I'm sorry. No, thank you. And he goes, try. And I go, he goes, $1 million. I suck you right here. And I go, no, thank you, sir. Have a beautiful evening. And I take his hand and I pat his hand and I say, have a very good night. No suck. And I keep it moving. And then the next old man who works for a legitimate company that says, you need a ride. I say, oh, fucking yeah, I do. And I jump on his bike and we get out of there. But that was the first 15 minutes in Saigon. And all that said, I then read about that this is a thing that happens often and still a beautiful city. And listen, the fellow was, that's how he makes his living. And aside from the, I guess what you'd call, sexual assault in the form of booping me and form of groping me without consent.
Totally a good family friendly city to bring your family to. Let's go.
Listen, don't go out. Don't wear a cup. Anyway,
wear a cup.
That was the experience in Saigon. And anyway, now I'm in Tokyo. It looks wild. Tom, did you or did you not make it over here?
Never got to go.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Heartbreaking. Yeah.
I'll talk to some people.
Please do. We were supposed to, like, in the 90s and in a band that, like, went before us and, like, kind of crashed the industry. And then we were like,
you want to say the name or should I just speculate in my mind?
You can probably speculate if it's the 90s and and I was like, and then they're like, yeah, we really can't take the chance. Like, so we're just going to like bring over like Sick of It All, you know, or Strife or like someone who's like guaranteed to draw people. You guys are too much of like a crapshoot. And I'm like, dude, totally get it. And then we were in talks, like it was supposed to, we were going to do Indecision Harvest. A couple of years, like pre-pandemic, maybe like 2 years before the pandemic, something like that. And it was just like too much. Like we couldn't totally figure it out. And it didn't feel, I don't know. It just didn't seem like it was feasible, but I think they went with Chokehold and it ended up being a lot of fun. So if you got room for old people from New York, I'm your guy.
Yeah. And I'll talk to them. You guys don't move like old people.
We still got it.
I just watched the Drain footage from Japan. Yo, I know that I slurped this band hard when we were on tour with them. They are really fucking. They are fucking. I booped them a little bit when we were on tour. These dudes are really fucking on right now, man. All the shows that they've been doing have amounted to something. Like they are like,
and they don't stop. Know. Dude, we're talking about Japan. They're in Europe now.
Yeah.
Like from one place to another. And like, I watched videos of them from Wacken in Europe. Like, it's always like, oh, it's Hatebreed and Halloween or whatever the fuck, and they're doing like the fucking Wall of Death.
That's right.
They're playing in front of like thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It's like, it's insane. It's insane. And seemingly couldn't happen to a better bunch of dudes. So
yeah, that's kudos to them. Speaking of good reactions and everything, we talked about Sound of Fury. We're recording this mid This Is Hardcore.
That's right.
So have a little bit less to say just because I haven't not all the footage is in, and I'm living the FOMO of with all these festivals where as soon as I see what's going on, I go, oh, god damn it.
That would be fun. Yeah.
That would have been fun.
Videos look good.
Really good.
Yeah. And it's kind of I haven't seen the surprise sets, like the ones that hit that, but the ones that we would expect to go crazy went as crazy as you'd expect. And I'm curious.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, you probably talking about the same thing. I'm curious who we're gonna find out is the kind of the we didn't know. You know what I mean? The we didn't know set. Like I love those, but you were saying.
Also, Bob, how are you?
I'm good.
I do that to Bob every episode.
You did to me too. You talked about getting booped for 15 minutes. Bob didn't even have a chance to ask me how I'm doing. I didn't even get right. How I'm doing, how I'm living, or whatever. Bob didn't get to answer how he's doing. I went to see Homefront on Friday.
Oh, I'm so jealous. How was it? I know. They're one of the best bands, man.
Unbelievable live.
I know.
At the Meadows. I'm sorry. It was a great show. It was very oily. It was great. They sounded awesome. From some inside dirt that I have, you'll be seeing them often.
Yeah, I have a feeling
they'll be on to bigger things, which is cool.
They deserve it.
They ripped. It was fucking incredible. I thought it was great. So a lot of old skinheads. I saw an old skinhead that I introduced myself to, and I was like, "You don't remember me, do you?" And he was like, "No, you look familiar." I was like, "You almost killed me at a Marauder show when I was 16. and he was walking around. I was like, "I can take this guy now."
Yeah, you're starting to feel it.
16-year-old Tom, Sunset Park. I was scared, but like.
Now you're like, okay.
Like, I'm a grown man. I got man strength. You know, I got like old man strength now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how our fathers are like, I'm bigger than you, but you probably still beat me up. Like, it's same. Now that's me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here's my question, though. Mm-hmm. Talking about This Is Hardcore. And someone, our friend, I think it was Davin, actually said it on her post. Is Excalibur the best modern hardcore song?
Ooh, I gotta say
it is.
It's really up there.
It's funny. I had this thought the other day where when you have hardcore thoughts and you go, like, it's crazy that I'm still thinking that at my age. The other day, I was like, am I underrating Mindforce? This was a conversation I had with myself.
Like internal, yeah. No, I know. Yep, I'm there. I know. I know the feeling. We know this pain.
And the answer is maybe. I mean, honestly, I think they're a great band. And I was reflecting on like, yo, I've been taking them for granted. Like, I'm just like, oh, they deliver. Them
from the rip, you know what I mean? And we've been friendly with them. I got to, you know what I mean? Like, we were in early. So you're like, of course, this is great. But like, when you step back and you go, god damn. Like, I know people that don't really love hardcore anymore that literally go to watch Mike Shaw.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've had friends of ours, Bob, that, like, once seen in California, was like, yeah, like, I just want to see how that dude does it with one guitar.
Impressive. Incredible.
Really, really amazing. And, I mean honestly.
Donnie's great. Everyone's great. Everyone's great. And they're Voltron of the Hudson Valley. They all came together and, like, created fucking, like. But, yeah, just watching them, it's still, it's like, yo, man, like, they're on a run that, like, I feel like people don't. Always, you know, I identify or point out.
And Tom, you asked that question. I think it's a great one. It's actually something we're going to hit on a future show idea, actually. Excalibur is a borderline perfect hardcore song to me, and it's really good. And there's people who respond more to the new record new record. It's been out for like a year and a half. To the newest LP, you know, than Excalibur. Like, it's crazy. That record took them to another level, and it's sort of like, whoa, this is a, like, by all squared definitions, about as fastball pitch a hardcore band as you can get. They're not overtly metalcore. They're not punk. You know, they are a hardcore band, period, full stop. And it hits, and it works for so many people, and they've done an incredible thing with it. So, like, we're booping them a little bit right here, but that's okay. Like, I think they deserve a little bit of it. So I saw the video of their set. They were like sixth from the top at the Saturday of This Is Hardcore. And when you're watching those videos, you go, oh, this easily could be a headliner at this thing. Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, boop your friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't boop a stranger.
Well, yeah. That's what that guy said to Patrick. Let's give it a whirl.
So, okay. This Is Hardcore looks hot. Did you guys see anything specific that you liked? I am like living in this travel mode where I feel behind. This Is Hardcore scandal, but is there anything in any hardcore scandal I'm missing? Any fucking big sets I'm missing? Any records anybody's talking about right now? What's popping that I have not been plugged into?
It walked from Perth.
I think
98% of his trip.
I think we're in the weird like post-coitus of Sound and Fury. There's this like afterglow / hovering all the way through This Is Hardcore. And like, I mean, man, look, there's a lot of good vibes. I'm trying to
think. Yeah, I think everyone loves hardcore right now because the two fests have been
so big, so big, so big. I mean,
it's cool.
Look, it's something we've talked about a little bit. It's weird to be documenting it in the way that we do, kind of with Axe to Grind, and saying like, hey, on a weekly basis, you can hear us kind of ramble about this and that and the other about hardcore. I mean, our shows, we started this podcast in December of 2017. The average show feels like it's four times larger than it was at that time. Maybe more.
No question. No question. Right?
More. And that is kind of crazy to think about. And, kudos, keep that good energy. I think the low key things that we didn't really talk about with Sound and Fury was that it seemed like a lot of young folks there. That's really cool. This Is Hardcore seems like they've got a lot of young people. And I'll be honest, the footage I saw seems like people were really excited for the current bands. Like, that's it. Like, Pain of Truth, Mind Force. Like, yeah, of course people are excited for Gorilla Biscuits. Tom, you brought this up. Silent Majority, low-key pulled. Like, that's a band that people were really excited for. People shout out to them.
Yeah. And then main support. I hate that term even, but like...
Sure.
No Pressure and Koyo and fucking, you know, and Mind Force and Pain of Truth and Bulldog. Like, that could have been a... Like, you know, you almost didn't even need GB in Sound Majority. You could end it with No Pressure.
I know, it's crazy.
And it would have been like, you know, how many thousands of people. Like, it's so fun. It's a very good era for hardcore. I think, Pat, I don't know if you watched the TUI set from Sound of Fury yet.
God, I saw only a couple clips. And when I watch the full footage, I'm going to be mind blown. I'm sure. Hey, listen, at Tied Down, it was like watching one of the best hardcore bands of all time, because weirdly it is.
They are. I mean, yeah, we, I think maybe people in our age range, whatever, we tend to not like give like the full bouquet when the band's like still relatively current.
Yes.
But like, you're watching one of the, like, when you go see them, you go see like Mind Force, you're watching some of the best hardcore bands ever. And like, don't wait for 30 years from now to be like, they were, you know, like, I remember when I saw like watching TUI, like watching those videos, and like Brendan played drums for them.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
But it's like watching these, like, yo, man, even the songs that like that I may not I might not be the biggest fan of or whatever, like,
right, which
are few and far between. It's like, oh god damn, like, this dude is like an incredible frontman who looks different every time I see him, and I love it.
Yeah, true.
You know, like, But like the band rips, so all of them are like such fucking murderers, and just like the crowd reactions, and just I mean,
Tom, you're bringing up a thing. I don't know if I discussed it when I critiqued a legend in the form of Kevin Seconds recently. I don't know if we discussed it, but so. I've been writing about this a little bit in my newsletters and whatnot. Cormac McCarthy died recently, and somebody brought up an excellent point, which is what a privilege to be alive at the same time as an actual master, as somebody that is one of the best to ever do it. What a remarkable privilege it was to be able to say, "Oh, he's got a new book coming out. That's awesome."
Right, recurring theme. Right, this is what I said at the top about the great labels doing great things. Like,
yes,
recognize it in the moment. Tom, you'll appreciate this. I am just old enough that my version of the NBA starts with Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. So when Michael Jordan, this guy, Michael Jordan comes along, I was like, who's this guy? He ain't shit. Like,
young, and
he's like, fine. But like, yo, I snapped around when he started winning all those finals. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to enjoy this, because I had the option of being a hater of greatness, or I could go, yeah, this is pretty fun. Let's watch.
But
Ken Griffey, like, oh, his son is playing?
Right.
Listen, you guys are coming at it from a completely different angle than I was, which is fascinating, which is if you are in a thing for a while, do not put on blinders to the new exciting thing.
Correct.
Do not dismiss it. But where I was coming from was that's what you guys are saying. What I was coming from was the inverse, which is, I was disappointed that I missed Negative Approach at Tied Down. Like actually bummed, you know what I mean? Like I would be when I was a kid. And what I'm saying is, don't be the person that's potentially younger than me who is willing to let, maybe this is not me wishing anything on anybody, what could be the last Negative Approach show in your area. If you're in Oklahoma City, maybe they don't come back around. You know what I'm saying? The fellas are older, and eventually time comes for us all. So what I'm saying is, do not, like, if I reflect on how many great shows I probably, you know, I was washing my hair that night or whatever. It's a pity.
Potatoes and just, yeah.
So I don't know. It sounds like we're in a very appreciative moment as a podcast.
No, I mean, yeah. Well, that's
the energy I mean, we try to bring.
That's right, and it's it is kind of like this, you know. So right. Like we hear lots of commentary about privilege and these things, but like, you know how you combat this idea of what privilege is and not acknowledging your privilege, you will fucking appreciate it. We are privileged to see a lot of great things. And that's kind of what we encourage, is this idea. Like you're not wrong. The new hot shiny thing, yo, it's great. Live it, live in the moment. You're still going to get a chance. Like Pat, you said it, Negative Approach.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
It might be the last time ever. It might be the last time you ever see that. It might, who knows, you know,
it could be any band.
You could die. Yeah. I could die. Yeah, you know, like Sam and Diane, this whole thing, you know, But it's a really cool thing to be able to, like, it's something I've thought about a bit, is the way that new media, the way the internet, the way things are, hardcore got passed down in this weird oral tradition way for a long time, right? Basically up to the point in which the three of us were getting into things or had been actively starting to be into things, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Walter Schreifels is this incredible artist, whatever. And we've all gotten a chance to know him a little bit and say hi and be buddy. And that's really cool. When I was 15, I was reading about this dude's exploits in the All Ages book, right? Yeah. You know, like that's the Rev book, the Straight Edge book. And I remember how, like, it's weird. And then going back and finding old scenes and reading these interviews, and it creates these myths almost, right? And I wonder if that changes as things go forward. And I'm not sure. Maybe it doesn't. And I don't know if it's good or bad. But hardcore presents this really cool space where you're able to get new things that are great and move forward and appreciate them at the same time as being told, hey, there are other things that we all stand on the shoulders of giants with some of this stuff, you know? Example is Bane is playing tonight at This Is Hardcore. And, you know, I said to my partner, who is a Baniac for sure, do you want to go? She is 8 months pregnant, and we have two children, and we're finishing renovations on a house. And I would say we're exhausted all the time. And at first she's like, I don't think so. And then 5 minutes later she said, maybe I do want to go. So I don't think we're going, but you know, I just mean to say there's a cool way that people appreciate things. So,
right, and it's hard, like, to, when you're in the moment, like, you know, to really, even like, no matter what you've seen, whether you saw Black Flag, you never saw Black, whatever, like, it came to mind, like, so I don't know if Pat, one thing you'll miss in 538 is like undergoing, like, I think it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone, right?
So a lot of folks are losing their apartments and all that sort of stuff. But like, literally, like, thinking about it, even in the moment, there was a Modern Lifers War show at 538.
Yeah, 2007 or 8, I think, right?
Which was legitimately, to this day, top three shows I've ever been to. Mm. Like one of, like, the GB, like, show at CB's when it was, like, when they were coming back to try to save CB's.
Yep.
Like that, and that Modern Lifers War show were probably the two best hardcore shows I've ever seen.
And you've been around, you've seen enough.
Right. At the course of the Port of the Week and the Tough.
So, yeah, it's one of those things, honestly. Like, Tom, if I was like, hey, tell me about some of your favorite New York City venues, 538 probably doesn't come to mind right away.
No.
And I would be in your top five.
I saw Self Defense and Tiger Jaw there, and like somebody's like,
that's right. The classic where Patrick revealed his true colors.
don't get me riled up. I'm in a good mood.
I'll swear on a fucking fake Bible. You didn't say any of that shit.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
But 538 Johnson is one of these New York venues.
For a lot of
legendary venue. And
for a lot of people.
I think it defined
an era.
No doubt.
And like in New York, and it's something people should not take for granted. That stuff is cool. And I think about this with all over the place. There's these little places that pop up. You know, a shout out to our buddies out in Fort Wayne who have this little DIY place, the Bug House, that is doing their last show with Combust this coming Saturday, I believe, or Sunday, something like that. Look, things like that, these weird DIY places, these fucking stupid VFW halls that do shows for 2 years, these, you know, back rooms, that's what eventually enables shit like This Is Hardcore having like 2,000 something people. Sound and Fury having however many freaking thousand people.
Fucking 1,300 kids in Brooklyn.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like those do, like, for folks that like aren't familiar, 538 Johnson is an apartment building that like most like young folks just like took over and like lived in, and would like some of the places, like their livings were so big that like, I mean, that Modern Lifers War show had to have like 300 people in it. In like someone's fucking living room.
Yeah,
like,
so
in a room like that, you know, like it's like literally people opening their homes to have punk and hardcore shows when there weren't a ton of venues that were allowing that sort of stuff at that time.
Well, and I mean, think about the fall of the New York City venue. There's where do shows happen? There's big places, right? And then there's a few little spots. And when they pop up, shout out to places like Gold Sounds. It's awesome. But it's things go from thick to thin really quick.
Right. And places like 538.
I mean, the spot that I went to the Extortion show in Perth, obviously that's a world away from where I grew up. I didn't know anything about it. When it's explained to me, oh yeah, it's been passed, like essentially the keys have been passed down, the lease in whatever capacity one exists has been passed down from punk to punk for, you know, whatever, 20 plus years or more, really. It's I love to be in the presence of that stuff. You know what I mean? Like I chose my hotel in Saigon because it had this wild history to it. History's fun. I don't think it's just relegated to sentimental old men, you know, to appreciate history. I think that it's cool. And look, I didn't appreciate it. Like when I first moved to the city, there were still CB shows and I would go to them and I would go, damn, this place is a stinky dump. And you don't appreciate it till afterwards that you go, oh, what a, you know, there's people around the world who would have enjoyed that experience. like how odd.
Have a chance to go.
That's right. Yeah. Took for granted. And I mean, this is true across the world. So I'm glad you brought that up and said that about the spot in Perth. And so this is a message that is really universal. We speak to our experience, but it's interesting. And I mean, I give it credit. I give hardcore credit. I think that there's people out there who, okay, so let's talk about this. It's 2023. On back-to-back weekends, we've seen hardcore festivals with thousands, plural thousands of people right. attending them. There are people who see that and go, this isn't hardcore the way I knew.
Oh, you know? Sure.
And let me just tell you, at the same time as these shows are happening, there are small shows happening to, you know, even some of the Sound and Fury shows the week of were, you know, anywhere from 200 to 60 to, you know, they're not all huge events. That's cool. That's what makes hardcore hardcore. It's this idea of like, yo, this isn't, you know, did several thousand people show up? That's amazing. Fucking cool. Hopefully the band is going just as hard when there's 5,000 people out there as they are when there's 50. And I'll be honest, I've had that experience with Trapped Under Ice. I saw Trapped Under Ice early and they were going fucking nuts. And they were going fucking nuts when they had that many people out there, you know? And I don't know. I think that's a really cool thing because it is that idea. Like everything starts somewhere. These bands start somewhere. And guess what? The destination isn't playing to 1,000 people. If it happens, that's awesome. The destination is doing the cool fucking creative thing, getting your music out there, having fun with it, doing it the way you want, how you want, where you want, when you want, et cetera. You get to make all those decisions. And that same for the person booking the show, drawing the flyer, making the fanzine, fucking putting out the records, all that. You can make it by your own rules. And that's fucking awesome.
You know what else is awesome is today hotel room in Tokyo. I'm listening to the Antidote 7-inch, and the that
20 years ago.
I'm listening to it on YouTube, and the top comment on this it's not Antidote official. It's Halud 99 with 1,000. Oh no. Yeah, it looks like 1,000. So I don't know how many subscribers. But it's it's got to be more. Anyway, the first comment. What is, respectfully, what is Ray Capo's Krishna name?
Raghunath Das.
Thank you. So this is the top comment is from Raghunath Yogi, who says, one of the best records of New York hardcore ever, definitely influenced us, parenthetical youth of today. Thank you, Ray. And our sound. So I go, is this the real Ray? Right. Cause people are responding with like, as though he's Ray, like, you know, them Krishna cookies you handed out concerts were great too, by the way. These are things people are saying. But But I clicked on this profile and blah, blah, blah. And it appears to be a Ray profile. Like, you know, it adds up.
Yeah, it is.
And so I just...
YouTube commentaries are you talking?
Well, here's the thing, Tom. I just tried. I don't know how to do this. It's not like a simple search on YouTube, although I'm sure somebody tech-minded could find it. I wanted to know everything that Ray has ever commented on. I thought it would be so funny because I don't know Ray, everybody. I don't think it would be too crazy presumptions here by saying he's a man of varied and obscure interests, and I just would be so fascinated. Like, what if we find out Ray is really into, you know, like Japanese cars? You know, like, what if we find out that he's really into ground effects on his CRX? You know,
what's Ray Capo's favorite comedy from the 90s? Like, what's his favorite? You know, is he a big? Maybe he's like super into the Naked Gun series. Who knows?
Who knows? The comments could be anywhere. But I, firstly, I love that Ray would just comment on a record that he really likes. I mean, there's nothing odd about that except for the fact that so many of us see Ray as like a figure rather than a human being. And to just see a figure go, oh yeah, this one ripped. I loved it as a kid. It's very nice. And I also want to recommend while we're talking about kind of media, hardcore media, I don't know if you saw this one. It's filmed during the pandemic. Give me one moment. I'm going to find it. It's an interview with Jimmy Gestapo. And it is really, I mean, I forgot. I've watched, obviously, the documentary footage of him as a kid. You know what I mean? As a 23-year-old or whatever the hell he was. And I haven't watched a recent interview. This dude is just as charming as he was when he was a kid. You know what I mean? And I don't know if it's, you know, maybe there hasn't been a ton of development since then. I can't tell, but it was completely worth watching. I got a lot out of it. He's very self-deprecating, good sense of humor about himself and others. Really enjoyed it, but it's, what brought me here is my Mark Lanegan, super deep dive, which I don't even like Screaming Trees that much. I just weirdly have fallen down this hole, which is taking me to interviews with the interview with, Jimmy Gestapo is, Joseph Arthur, is the, channel. And that's, he's a guitarist, musician that I'm not really familiar with his work, but is, you know, I guess a guy, a respected dude, but he's, you know, he's got dudes like Mark Lanegan on, but then he also has Harley and he's got Jimmy Gestapo on. And you gotta, because he's not the best interviewer, but what he does well is he just gives these big personalities an opportunity to do their thing. And it is, it pays off. And I would just urge everybody to watch this. When Jimmy Gestapo is like, he looks at the camera almost like a kid. They say, so you're from Queens? He goes, Astoria, yeah. And he's still born and bred, still live there. And they go, really? You haven't left? And he goes, well, I traveled the world looking for a place that was better. Haven't found it yet. And then he says, I still live there. I live over a hot rod shop. Pretty cool.
Life's rich pageant.
Taking nothing away from him. I was like, holy shit, pretty cool.
Traveling the world, haven't found one yet. Like, he's the fucking legit best, man.
That's goated behavior. All right. Do we got anything else we want to hit on? I'm sad to have missed Homefront. I'm sad to have missed Poison Ruin. Shout out to This Is Hardcore. Seems like it's been a wild weekend. Shout out to the new band Scarab opening that thing. They got good things going on. Go. I believe they got their demo 7-inch is out on Rebirth Records now, and there's a new 7-inch coming soon. People should check that out. What else we got?
They're playing Broken Blacklisted show with us in Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, Tom, that's going to be bananas, man.
Both days, those tickets move pretty fast.
I'm going to just point to your general and say banana.
That's banana? It. Did you just boot me?
That's going to be awesome. Everybody knows this. I think Blacklisted is, even as one of the bands of their generation, I think are currently underrated. So that should be awesome. Indecision, I do not think is necessarily underrated, but sometimes taken for granted. So I think that anybody who has not seen Indecision, which I guess is probably a lot of people under the age of 30 in Philadelphia, right? Like, Tom, when is the last time?
Yeah, unless they traveled to New York or other places we played. Yeah. The last time we played the church was 1997 or 1998.
Oh, listen, everybody's got to go to this. I can say this. I am not just a Tom Slurper. I'm not just booping them. They are, Tom, would you say you're as good as you were when you were a kid?
Probably better.
Yeah. And I say this as a, I say this as a person who saw you when you were a much younger man. I think you are. Hold on. I saw you. Did I see you at QE2? Have we determined this?
I mean, I can tell you the shows we played.
Have you written on your fucking gravestone? Did I see you at QE2?
Well,
he picked up most of his women, most of his shirts.
Most of my shirts. Did I see you at QE2? I think I saw you at QE2. Then again, as Most Precious Blood at QE2. Is that possible? Or did I see you as whatever? Listen, we're not going to do this for conference.
We played MTV, and we played Valentine's a bunch.
I saw you at Valentine's for sure. No more forensics. Here's what I'll say. I saw you perform a couple of years ago and you were better. I assume that you haven't lost anything since then.
Still in the high mid 90s.
So everybody, that's going to be an awesome show. Make every effort. Tom, they sold through or what?
Oh, dude, it sold out in a minute.
Yeah, well, all right. Wait outside, everybody.
Pat's going to fly over. He already got permission from the lady friend. She signed the permission slip.
Yeah.
I think that's pending. He's got to be on good behavior.
Yeah, you know what? I get a actual 3-month break from music to be with my family, and it is going to be really not, like, look, I love this Tokyo thing's awesome. We're going to New Zealand next. Never been there. I enjoy traveling. I enjoy touring. I enjoy playing music. But holy shit, is it time to have an uninterrupted 3 months of life? You know what I mean? Like that. These dudes that go out for there's a tour happening next year that my bandmates all want to get on. We've mentioned this obliquely on this podcast. My bandmates all really want to get on this shit. It goes for a year.
You gotta make that last tour work, man. You gotta make every last penny.
Yeah, that's a fact. And I don't know how dudes do shit like that when they are, when they love their wives. Like, I get it if you just went through a bad divorce, but like, if you love your family, I think it's hard to be away for a year. I mean, granted, those dudes are rich; they fly home and say hello to the family and all that bullshit. But it's a
them on their buses and shit. Like
it's a little different, but I don't know. I'm just so as much as I would love to fly home to see Indecision, Blacklisted, Tom, give the rest of that lineup in our last few minutes on this podcast.
Scarab, Magnitude, Spiritual Cramp, and Unbroken.
Firstly, all right,
give the rest of that lineup.
Bob, am I wrong to say that that's going to be one of those cool, like Spiritual Cramp, like adds like, oh, it's now a mixed bill. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just
a mixer. And it just, that is, the agave in the, maple oat milk latte.
Oh, but it's just, that's going to be one that everybody there is going to remember. So go to that shit. And do we have anything else? I don't know.
Oh, you know what? I forgot about there was some scandal.
Oh, shit.
Mm, let's close on scandal.
I mean, it's a funny scandal. And this is, I mean, we obviously love Sound and Fury and everybody involved in it 100%. But there was a scandal because Travis Barker showed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
To see, I guess, Speed and TUI, because obviously because of Brendan. But then there was like rumors that like the big Twitter talk, which is, I mean, you know, is 100% untrue, was that like when he showed up, he made like everyone clear out.
Listen, yeah, which like, is what. So
listen. Leave me alone. Not that like anyone at that show is going to bother him necessarily. But that was the big rumors that he like cleared out the backstage room for him, like his security, like, you know, is, but that was like the big talk. And it was like, people were like, how dare he show up at a hardcore show? I'm like, well, the guy's got a goddamn Dag Nasty tattoo on his chest.
Yeah.
He liked hardcore at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So does this spell it? And maybe, you know, there's other, maybe we should have had Hardlore address this one, huh? is that,
I was eating a cheeseburger. No, sorry.
The fire marshal. At this thing, as discussed and seen, was flexing a little bit, and insisted on the backstage area clearing out. This did transpire around the same time as Travis Barker showing up, not the exact same time, but similar. And we're talking about somebody who, nascently a celebrity, nascently sort of famous, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit.
Showed up to the festival solo, like by himself, to check out a couple bands and then was very appreciative to everyone involved. And that's pretty cool.
Can you imagine it being like, I just showed up at the same time and like a whole scene is like, fuck that guy. Like, he's like, I just wanted to come see a show, man.
Don't get lost in rumors, everybody. they're often not.
I mean, true. Twitter was on fire for like a 24-hour period about that. And then, about like the barriers and stuff. It's like, you don't think those dudes wanted the barriers, right? Like, you know, the fire department showed up like as they were like setting up to be like, oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how much we're allowed to say if they've talked about that or whatever, but like, honestly, everybody.
Assuming, I don't know anything.
Here's the thing. Everybody get a grip. These are dudes that have done festival for a long time. Don't ever be confused about what type of show they want to put on.
Their intention is very clear.
Yeah. So
I also credit to them for the barrier was pretty flimsy barrier there.
I was just going to say that they fucking half-assed that shit. They're like, we got this bike rack that's going to fold like a fucking cheap suit in about 3 seconds. But all right. And shout out to Big for taking it down.
Yo. Yes. No more barriers. Let's go.